This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So our guest this week is Alejandro Rojas of Open Minds. And we were mentioning the fact that although we're communicating with Skype, and our voices are going into the cloud and returning back to Earth, or whatever is left of Earth, the fact of the matter is that Alejandro and I are about 8 miles apart. It boggles the mind, the wasted distance.
Well, the last time we were all on together, didn't you guys say you were going to get together for lunch or something? Did you guys manage to do that, or we just skip to the next show?
We did not. So, is it? I didn't hear if I was introduced. I can go ahead and talk.
You are allowed to talk, Alejandro.
I give you
permission.
Okay, sorry about that. I was waiting for
you. Need permission.
Yeah, we never did. I have been just way over my head and stuff to do and write. I'm always behind in writing articles. And so, no, we have not gotten together. I have just kept my nose to the grindstone. In fact, it's been some time in scheduling this. We've been trying to do this for a while, and it's taken some time.
Well, yeah, you're really into the Open Minds thing. Plus, you do lectures, and you go to conferences. You know, tell us what all of the stuff it is that you're working on. Are you writing any books or anything like that?
Actually, I am working on a book. I also write for Den of Geek, and I do a story or two a week for them. Right now, I'm doing reviews on Project Blue Book, and I'm working right now on a review. I'm going to be doing their reviews for the Orville episodes. I love that show, so that's going to be a lot of fun, although I'm going to be totally biased because I really enjoy the show. But, so I'm writing those pieces, and then the Congress, of course, is keeping me really busy, not just organizing the conference, which there's a lot that goes into that behind the scenes, even though people don't see much. But it's also, we're building a store. So we've got a bunch of products on our UFO Congress store. We're going around to different events to kind of sell those and tell people about the conference. So, yeah, we've been all over the place.
This store, this is going to be something online?
Yes,
it's not going to be a physical store in Tempe or something.
No, not currently a retail location, but actually we have been looking into that to kind of have a headquarters. But no, this is online. It's a UFO Congress store. And then, of course, we take those products to different events. So, for instance, what's the next one? Oh, we're going to be at Conscious Life Expo in L.A. weekend after next. And then other events. I can't even remember all of them. I know we'll be at Alien Con where I'll be speaking and we be selling our products there. We usually sell out pretty quickly. So yeah, keep them busy, but it's all fun spreading the word.
By the way, folks, we've mentioned this before. I have a store. It's called the Tech Night Owl Live Store. It's more about tech accessories like earphones, laptop cases for Mac products, iPhone cases, things like that. And we've got iPhone cases clad in wood, would you believe?
Awesome. What is it called again?
It's the Tech Night Owl store. If you go to technightowl.store to check it out. And we're going to have a Paracast store, by the way, soon. It's going to have custom Paracast merchandise. But I wanted to mention the other one because everybody has something or needs something that's available there. And that's courtesy of our friend Andrews, who's our marketing guy and webmaster. He's doing all sorts of miracle things out there. So I wanted to mention, it's not like a commercial. It's a piece of information. In any case here, I was thinking with inviting Alejandro here, what we might have him talk about. And I read this article in several newspapers talking about a guy from Israel named of Avi Loeb. I hope I'm pronouncing correctly. So Avi Loeb is the head astronomer at Harvard. Now, when you say Harvard astronomer, you think of Dr. Donald Menzel. Many thousands of years ago, where he drew pictures of aliens, but he was totally against flying saucers and the possibility that aliens are here. Now, Loeb is the head astronomer, like I said, and you can tell us more, Alejandro, but he believes there's some kind of object in our solar system that is artificial by an intelligence from outer space.
So we had this thing come through the solar system. It's the first extrasolar object to come into our solar system and then kind of circle the sun and go away. Now, we have this happen sometimes when we talk about asteroids or comets that come near us, closer to the sun. And sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of scare. It might come close to the planet. Then they usually come close to the sun. The sun's gravity pulls them around and they slingshot out into space. But all the objects we've seen thus far are just in an orbit around the sun. Some of these are huge orbits where it takes many, many years for them to come back. Maybe not even in our lifetimes will we see it again. But this object is not in an orbit around our sun. This is something that came from elsewhere, circled around the sun, you know, pulled by the gravity and then and left. But the mystery is the speed and the makeup of this object. It doesn't move in the way that they understand necessarily what it is. So a paper was written up, and Mr. Avi Loeb, an extremely well, as you can imagine, from someone who runs astronomy at Harvard, but a very respected astronomer, he suggested this thing might be alien. And that hit the news, and, you know, we were hearing about this all the time. He suggested that this object seems not to be like the picture, more potato-shaped, but much thinner, perhaps even a millimeter. And he speculated it could be what's called a solar sail. Incidentally, he's working with a Russian billionaire, Yuri Milner, to create these little solar sail spaceships to send to the nearest solar system for humans to kind of gather information. And this is something they're really working on. It's called the Breakthrough Initiative. Stephen Hawking was backing it along with other scientists. And now, you know, Avi Loeb is working on that. And he thinks this object that came through could be that because it was moving faster from the sun than it should if it was a typical rock formation, which most scientists believe it to be. So he's speculating, because there isn't necessarily evidence, that this could be a solar sail, which is essentially, you've seen this actually in Star Trek, they've talked about it, where the sun pushes this sail, and it's really the heat and radiation from the sun that is propelling this object through space. He believes it could have been part of a spacecraft from an extraterrestrial civilization, or maybe the whole thing, that it's coming around to kind of monitor our solar system, like what we're going to do with these solar sails through the Breakthrough Initiative. So yeah, much to the consternation of his colleagues, he's been pushing this and continues to push this idea to this day that this is possible. Some of them are saying, oh, this is absolutely ridiculous. Some of them are saying, you know, well, he's probably just kind of being like that kind of Socratic professor who puts forth ideas that are kind of bonkers to make us think and to challenge us. But no, he says, you know, he has this thing called cosmic modesty. And essentially, we've heard this before. A lot of people kind of talk about this idea, but he's put a name to it. This idea that we would be completely arrogant, and we are arrogant, to assume that we're alone in the universe or that we're particularly special as a species. So very interesting fella. And it's exciting because he's one of actually several scientists recently who have been going to the alien kind of answer. They've been pulling a Giorgio Tsoukalos and saying, hey, it might be aliens, or actually, because he says it is aliens, but at least they're suggesting that cosmic mysteries may have an extraterrestrial origins, which is not something that we've seen, you know, in the past. Scientists have stayed away from that sort of speculation.
Maybe that's the first step. Some people say it's the first step towards possible disclosure, although I'm not really a disclosure advocate. They also talk about gradual disclosure, where we become accustomed to the possibility that there are aliens out there, the real thing, and that, you know, some of them may be far more advanced than we are. Alejandro Rojas of OpenMinds.tv, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Alejandro Rojas talking about Avi Loeb, head astronomer at Harvard, or HAVID, and he is the guy who I just insulted people from New England, and I lived in New England for a while, so forgive me. I was just being ridiculous or foaming at the mouth here at my age. Seriously, we're talking about somebody here who thinks there's an object designed by intelligent beings. Now, I'm just kind of curious here. a sail in outer space, how does it drive? How does it move? And we don't have it. Wind in space.
We do, actually. And they're called solar winds. And that's essentially what they're sailing off of. I think that the easiest way to think of it is, you know, there's those little devices that you see in some windowsills, and you see them on science sites. In fact, Bob Lazar's Nuclear United sells these, where there's that little glass ball, and you see the white and the black panels inside, and this thing's moving. It's spinning all by itself. Well, how's it doing that? The sun is heating one side. Since that side's bigger, it causes this this spin inside of there. So it's kind of a similar idea. What I mentioned before, that breakthrough project where they're creating these solar cells, what they want to do there is actually shoot lasers from the Earth, powerful lasers, at these sails that push them along, because we want to direct them in a different direction than, you know, away from the sun. That's what they want to do, shoot lasers that warm up one side and propel these things. And since space is a vacuum, you know, as they go faster and faster and faster and faster, they've calculated, you know, how long they have to shoot these lasers at these things until they can move at these extreme speeds all on their own. And they're figuring on kind of blitzing the closest solar system by creating hundreds, if not thousands, of these things, because they figure a lot of them won't make it, so that they get as many there as possible.
Yeah, I've been following this thing since I first heard about it. It's really quite interesting. I'm assuming we're talking about the asteroid Oumuamua that was discovered back in 2017.
Exactly. Oumuamua. It's a great name.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I remember seeing Neil deGrasse Tyson on the Colbert Show. Even then, they were saying, well, this thing could be. What if it is something actually alien, something technological? And Tyson, he was saying, well, we know it's just an asteroid because it hasn't changed its direction from any of the natural laws of gravitation. And so Colbert, he takes his pen and he throws it up in the air and it comes down on his desk and he says, yes, but that just did the same thing here with the pen, but it was set in motion by a thinking being. And the crowd just went, yay! Tyson just kind of smirked, because it's entirely possible that it was something that was sent from some other civilization. But until recently, they had no sufficient reason to think so, because it was just behaving like an unpowered object would. Since then, they've discovered that it's actually accelerating out of our solar system, which is completely not what they expected.
Right. Now, they do say, and people like Tyson and other scientists, that is possible that the makeup of whatever this thing is could be the reason it's moving faster than we would expect it to. And that's completely possible. It came in so quickly, we weren't really prepared. Nobody thought it was necessarily that strange. Of course, to put together a program to send a craft to connect with this thing, you know, with the bureaucracy and everything, it takes a very long time. So there was no time to kind of create a project. And as it spun around and started moving away, and especially as Abby Loeb's theory started getting very popular with the media, at least, I think a lot of people regretted that we didn't prepare better so we could land something on there to retrieve a sample from it, figure it out, because it's moving so quickly and going so far away that there's no way we would be able to build anything to catch up with it, to figure it out. So we're just never going to know. It's entirely possible that it's made up of some sort of material that would, you know, we'd be able to learn from, but naturally made. But of course, as you suggested, it's possible that it's not naturally made. That would be kind of an incredible situation, that we just had this extraterrestrial probe or something come through our solar system, come and go, and we'll just never know what it is.
Now, I assume it's not traveling at anything near the speed of light here. So it would be something that would take years, decades, centuries to arrive here from the home planet. It might even be the civilization that sent it out isn't there anymore.
That's entirely possible as well.
It could be robotic, you know, automated or something. They say it came in to our solar system at around 315,000 kilometers an hour.
Wow.
so, which is pretty fast. Like, there's nothing that we've ever made that's going that fast. So, but by interstellar distances, that speed is actually still pretty slow. I mean, it would take 300,000 years for it to get to Lyra, which is the path that it sort of was seen to be following. But if you're an automated system, maybe it doesn't really matter. Not much happens out in space or in a vacuum, and unless you get hit by another asteroid or some intense sort of radiation from some source like a star, you're not going to deteriorate much.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's another possibility. You know, in fact, SETI is an organization. Really, SETI is an acronym, actually, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. But there's a SETI Institute, and often when people talk about SETI, they think of the SETI Institute created by Jill Tarter. Frank Drake was involved, and of course, Seth Shostak is a popular character who's a lead scientist with them. But they had a presentation at an event they had this summer where one of the scientists presented that, hey, you know, we keep talking about how it's not possible that we've been visited, but it is possible. We don't know. And we need to take these mysteries seriously. It's completely possible. If we're out here telling people that there's got to be intelligent civilizations out there, then why couldn't they have visited us? Of course, a lot of you are saying, he says, you know, that the physical body, it's not possible for them to take the sort of conditions it would take for some craft to get here. But what if they're not physical? What if they are sending probes or robotic probes here? Or, and some of these are just taking a very, 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 very long time to get here, but that when they get here, they're automated and they retrieve data and send it back. Or what if they're robotic? What if, he says, what if they're like robots who are sentient beings now and their bodies are not affected the same ways ours are? And that created a big stir. And actually, that scientist, Cosmo, I can't remember the way you pronounce his name right now, but he got really embarrassed. The UK tabloids especially twisted it to say SETI scientists said aliens are here, which is not what he said at all. He was just saying that we need to research these mysteries when that is a potential. We can't keep laughing at UFO sightings and these situations. But he said, you know, we need to look for it, not that we know yet whether or not that's the case.
Let's do our break, kind of, guys. Break time. Let's do our break.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll have Alejandro and Randall and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Detoxify, lose weight, and restore balance to your body by simply drinking tea. Surprised? Dr. Miller's Holy Tea can help you feel better and even lose weight, because Holy Tea is a unique herbal tea blend of all natural ingredients specially formulated by Dr. Bill Miller. Call this number, 888-660-7039, or click drmillersclinic.com. Take the first step toward better health. Drink tea from Dr. Miller's Clinic.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A second woman is claiming Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax sexually assaulted her. But this time, she said it was rape. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has more on the story.
A second woman has accused Virginia's Lieutenant Governor, Democrat Justin Fairfax, of sexual assault
The woman says through her attorney that Fairfax raped her when they were students at Duke back in 2000. Former Republican governor of Louisiana Bobby Jindal tells Fox News these women, they have to be heard from.
Clearly they need to be heard. The New York Times is now saying there were contemporary conversations from the first woman making the accusations that are consistent with what she is saying now. So this looks credible. They need to be heard, and if they want to be heard, they need to be heard.
Fairfax is labeling the allegations as demonstratively false. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Alejandro Rojas of OpenMinds.tv, we are exploring whether we're being visited out there. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so this Oumuamua is still the first that we know of or that we've detected interstellar object that we've been able to track and watch come into our system and exit out again. From some of the articles I was reading, the solar sail theory just doesn't add up with the physics. They say that if there were solar sails involved, we would be able to see them because they'd have to be so large given the mass of the object. And the mass, of course, can be calculated with pretty great accuracy just by the trajectory of the object as it was coming in. So some other people said, well, maybe it's some sort of outgassing from inside it. It's got some natural, who knows, maybe water or something inside that was heated by the sun and the sun's reflecting off it. And it's pushing it out the end, kind of like a rocket engine. And that's what's causing this acceleration. But in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, what's the likelihood of a natural object like that actually having some sort of natural propulsion system built into it? It seems like a real reach, and that the scientists are going way out of their way to not suggest that, well, the other logical solution is that it is an alien craft with a propulsion system. And this goes back to what I was saying about deGrasse Tyson. He was saying, well, there's no evidence that it was changing direction or that it was powered. Well, now there is. So, you know, they just moved the goalposts and come up with this idea that, well, maybe there's some natural propulsion system on it. Well, this is getting more interesting to me all the time.
Well, it is possible. And that is what happened. So, for instance, with a comet, comets are made of ice. the reason they have a tail, and they change actually in shape when they get close to the sun. When they're out in the depths of space, it's cold, so they're frozen. When they get closer and closer to the sun, they melt, and then all of that debris falls off of it and trails behind it, and that's how they get the trail as they go around the sun, and then they freeze again as they go back out. And so it is possible that if this thing did have something trapped inside of it that would evaporate as it got closer to the sun, that could, you know, push out of it like a pop bottle, you know, where the water's gushing out of it. So that is feasible, but they didn't see anything like that. So they didn't see any evidence of anything gushing out of it. However, on the flip side, when they said, oh, we would see these sails, they're kind of misunderstanding what Avi Loeb is saying, because he's saying, no, this thing is a sail. The entire thing is a sail. We know that it's long and it's skinny, but we don't know how skinny. He's saying he thinks this thing is only a millimeter wide, that it's not like a giant potato, but more like a giant sail, that this whole thing was a sail. That's his answer to that, is that you don't see sails coming off of it because it is the sail.
Yeah, it would have to be something alien if that was the case. I mean, otherwise it simply wouldn't hold together because it's so elongated and it's spinning. So if this, you know, wasn't a sail, the only other thing it could be is some sort of really loose cometary type dust. And if it was spinning like that, there's no reason to think that the actual inertia from the particles wouldn't just spread it all out and dissipate. So, Yeah, it's a really interesting object for sure.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody's arguing that the makeup of this thing is different than what we've seen before. And that's what makes it really fascinating, is that certainly there would have been something to learn by retrieving a piece of it, but that's just not possible.
One thing we consider here, if this is the real thing somehow attached to a larger object, if E.T. were coming here from obviously another star system where it'd take years, decades, centuries, they would probably build a city in space. And we've seen that in sci-fi. In fact, they tried to have one of those shows, and I don't think it lasted beyond the pilot, but there have been sci-fi stories about it. That's where you basically have multiple generations live on the starship, and the generation maybe 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 generations hence, they land on their destination. But, of course, the big drama here is that how do you keep a civilization intact in close quarters for multiple generations? Or maybe E.T. is better than us. Just pointing that out.
You know, I'm not sure. When it comes to abductions, or when it comes to people who believe they've been abducted and have been given information from these different civilizations, the hard thing for me is that rarely are two stories exactly the same. Sometimes they're similar, but essentially when they're saying where we come from, the nature of why we're here, the motivations of the different others that are here. There's so many different stories, and they can't all be true. But some of the stories are pretty interesting. There is one I heard from a lady, and she seemed very credible to me. She's someone that, you know, I had interviewed. And she said when she was on this, taken on this craft that was very large, and she was taken into this room and to meet all of these different beings. And she was like, well, where do you live? And they're like, what do you mean? And she said, well, I'm from Earth. Where are you from? And they said, well, we live here. And she said, that's weird. You live on this giant craft in space. And they said, yeah, we think it's weird. You live on a planet where, you know, you have all of the weather and asteroids and anything can happen, where here we're much more safe, which is kind of an interesting idea.
Well, you know, yeah. at least here it creates the climate of acceptance. Okay, they're out there. Maybe they're here now. It doesn't mean that's the answer to the UFO mystery, but it couldn't have been worked out better, right?
You mean as far as that the scientists are now suggesting it?
Exactly, and it makes the public more accepting.
It does. I think that
of how the things work.
Well, we had in the news prior to that this Tabby star, which is essentially one of the stars that Kepler was looking at, and Kepler looks for the dimming of stars to tell if the planet's going in front of it, to see if it has a planet around it. And Tabby star is one that's out there that has these odd signatures, this odd dimming And so here again, the scientists who examine this, one of the things they theorize it could possibly do to is some sort of technology from an advanced civilization in the area. So here again, we had scientists suggesting that. That made a lot of news. It's kind of accepted that it could be dust clouds around the planet, but nobody knows for sure why it's doing what it's doing out there. In fact, when one scientist who actually has done work in the UFO field suggested that it was a dust cloud, even wrote a paper, Seth Shostak of SETI, surprisingly, came and said, no, I don't think so. We still don't know if it's extraterrestrial or not. He was kind of arguing that it was ET, which is kind of rare. Usually he's kind of debunking UFO stories. But that, along with this idea that, you know, the Pentagon had researched UFOs and these new stories that continue to come out related to the DOD project, really has created this environment we've never been in, at least certainly not during my lifetime, and I don't think during many. I mean, maybe early on in Project Blue Book, you had this environment where many scientists and people in the government were very pro-UFO and or pro-extraterrestrial civilizations and potential visitation, and we kind of have that going on right now to a degree we've never had before.
Yeah, you're quite right. Like back in the early days, people were actually comparatively open-minded. And then, of course, the Robertson panel came along and the Condon report, and those both caused the big, what they called a great divide. So there was a big division, and it became official policy to ridicule people on about their UFO sightings, which has carried on since then until more recently, with this whole Nimitz Tic Tac to the Stars Academy and the article in the New York Times.
We got more to come with Alejandro Rojas, with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
You see, Alejandro adopts his announcer voice.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Anyway, this is a fascinating thing, and the thing I wanted to point out, and didn't have time in the last segment, is that all this is happening regardless of the efforts of disclosure advocates, because they've been at it since the 50s and Major Donald Kehoe. They've done nothing. This is part of something that, if it's part of a program, is being done by our government. Again, not because we've demanded it or any of the people who are into disclosure have demanded it. It's the circumstances, or maybe they know something about ET they have to reveal to us.
I think you make an excellent point right there. And I think that personally, I've never felt, you know, banging at the door of the White House is going to be effective. And it hasn't at all. What I think is the route that we can go is just to share information. Now, I think everybody has something interesting to share. I don't disparage anyone who's out there sharing information. I have just focused on, and with Open Minds, we've focused on more of kind of a journalistic sort of approach to kind of, you know, get out there to try to present the information to journalists, to scientists in a way that is more digestible to them. So that to kind of help grease the wheels in our mind to get more information out to the public and to make people feel comfortable without the giggle factor, that there's plenty of very, very credible information that they can be comfortable to share with their coworkers at the water cooler, you know, talking about some of 1952 Washington, D.C., or talking about the Rendlesham Forest, or even Travis Walton, some very credible cases that have a lot of research behind them. And I think that's much more effective. And what's happening here is that, you know, we as the public need to move forward. We don't need to rely or wait on politicians to do something or the government. In fact, that's typically not how it works. The government moves when you have a mass of people who want them to. In particular with politicians, you need a mass of voters to want them to do something. And I think this, with Lou Elizondo coming out and talking about looking into UFO cases while he was with the DOD, he was frustrated. That's why he left, because it wasn't being taken seriously enough. Now that he's got all this public attention, these committees, as we've heard, you know, with like some of this information that's come out, that these subcommittees in Congress have been asking some of these witnesses related to the 2004 Nimitz incident, these jet pilots who chased these UFOs, to come and talk to them about it. So now the Congress, at least at that level, they're starting to listen. And it's from, you know, this push from the public. Project Blue Book, that's how it worked. In 1952, they wanted to close the whole UFO thing before even starting Project Blue Book. If you read Edward Ruppelt's book, the guy who was in charge of Project Blue Book, but it was this Time Life magazine article, these other incidents that got the public interested, and they said, no, you have not given us answers. We need more answers. So Ruppelt said, we need to do a better job giving the public answers. And they said, okay, you run the project, you go ahead and do it. And then we had Project Blue Book, the third project to investigate UFOs. So I agree with you 100%. This disclosure kind of banging at the door of the White House is, I don't see that it has really done a lot. It's gotten some publicity, but often that publicity is ridicule. But it hasn't moved the needle as much as some of the more compelling stuff out there in the public.
That is so true. And that is such a great attitude, Alejandro. I've been trying to make the same point for, well, pretty much at least about the last 15 years in ufology, because for us, we have done the research. We've educated ourselves to the point where we know, just like Hynek came to the same conclusion, and he started off pretty skeptical, that people are having genuine experiences of something that is truly alien, whether it's extraterrestrial or what. We're still not sure. We don't have enough proof. It seems to be the most reasonable explanation, but something is going on. And therefore, why do we really need validation from the government? If we need to get out there ourselves and figure it out, and then, as you say, once enough people start doing that and making enough headway, well, then maybe something, you know, will fall out of the tree.
And another aspect also that I think especially disclosure advocates miss is how to present people or this information to be effective. You know, you can't go and to them and say, bring someone on who is going to talk about this major, the Ashtar Command is here or something, or,
right.
you know, you need, like the Nimitz case, military witnesses who say, hey, you know what I chased in the sky with my multi-million dollar jet that you put me in charge of and trusted me to command. And, you know, I got accommodations for doing a very good job at it while I did that. I chased these things. I saw it with my own eyes. This is not something that is human technology. That is much more effective. And that it has been proven lately. And we get indications from various people that these various subcommittee meetings that have been happening, are we're going to hear something from it. Now, is it going to be something we can necessarily trust? You know, if it's another blue book, is that really going to move the needle much, especially if it's very political and PR oriented? Maybe not. But I think that university studies or other funds or resources putting towards this sort of study may. For instance, if, you know, Bigelow or some other of his colleagues decide, hey, let's put some big money towards this again. Or if, let's say, I don't know, not everybody trusts To the Stars, so maybe that wouldn't be the organization, but maybe if they got an ingest of some major money to do more research.
Exactly who would do the best job. You mentioned Yuri Milner, and that was he's an interesting character. Mm-hmm. He was actually involved, you know, going back to the Oumuamua story, is that back when it was coming around the sun, he actually paid to have the Green Bank radio telescope dish listen for radio signals from it. Like, hired.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's really interested in the subject and has a lot of money. I mean, I'd love for him to, you know, knock on my door and say, hey, you know, what can we do to set you up? But you yourself, you're doing a fantastic job with the Open Minds TV. You've been at it for years. You've been dogged. You know, I'd say you've got to be one of the A-list people out there in the ufology conference circuit and so on. So it's really great to have people like yourself out there who are making these kinds of cases and saying, hey, people, you know, it's time that we can take this seriously. Pilots like David Fravor, very, very credible. Anyone who ridiculed him, I would think they would just have to be so biased that all they can do is just contradict, like Seth Shostak, like you mentioned. I think he just contradicts anything that anyone who's pro-ufology says, even if they agree with him.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for those kind words. That was really nice of you to say. Thank you very much for that. But I agree with you, too, and it's one of the – I'm a big fan of Shostak's. If you ever hear him talk, there's no way you can leave one of his talks and think we're alone. I mean, he's amazing. He's witty. He's a lot of fun. But I get frustrated. In fact, one of my talks is about astronomers and UFOs, and I started off about Seth Shostak, and he's so great. But what inspired – and he's the one who inspired me to do this talk because of something really stupid that he said. And, which was completely wrong. And it was when I asked him, when, you know, first time I got to engage him, and he said, well, you know, if UFOs were really a thing, astronomers would be seeing UFOs. And so this talk I have, for an hour, I go over astronomers not only saw UFOs, astronomers such as J. Allen Hynek are the ones who started civilian UFO research. It was started by astronomers. So what's frustrating, though, especially when he debates people like Stanton Friedman, he's debated a few times, he never does his research. Stanton has asked him for years. He said, well, where's this information? And he said, you can read it here. You can read it there. I referenced Peter Sturek. I asked him, have you read his book? Who wrote about, you know, this inventory he did with astronomers and UFOs. No, he hasn't read that book. So he hasn't educated. It's almost like he's refusing to educate himself on the topic. Yet he speaks so authoritatively that, you know, none of this can be true without educating himself. It's really frustrating.
Before we are further frustrated, we have to break. Gene Randall, Alejandro, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.